I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 43. The train keeps on rolling toward an NEC tournament berth. One more win down, one more to go against the Mouth this Saturday, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted. Happy to be here.
Before we talk about the game, let's talk about before the game and at halftime. The 72 national championship team, the first in Hobart history, was on the field at halftime. They got to talk to the guys, and we've talked about this before. It's one thing to see names on plaques on the wall that you walk by. It's another thing to actually talk to the guys who did it and learn from them. What did they take from that meeting with the 72 team?
I think it was very impactful for our guys, Ted. Those gentlemen came in and somehow without speaking, Bob Riley spoke to our group. They all introduced themselves. Kind of talked about, you know, the defenses and the offenses they were a part of, a couple of the accolades here and there. Nothing crazy, you know, completely humble. You know, our guys gave them a standing ovation when they walked in, and that wasn't even directed from Coach Raymond. They just stood up and were just so excited to see them. And then the message that Bob gave was so coincidentally and perfectly in line with what we talked about all week, just, you know, the lineage of Hobart lacrosse and what really does make a program like this special. Lots of programs have tradition and lots of programs talk about tradition and yada, yada. But I think what makes the year to year special with Hobart lacrosse is, you know, kind of that same chip on your shoulder feeling where, you know, you've always been, you know, kind of that little podunk liberal arts school that's competing against the big, and that's the group that started it, really. You know, they came out and even in that championship game, the article provided by Sports Illustrated was still providing backhanded compliments, like, you know, Hobart's small and who would have thought they'd have done da 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 da, not really saying, hey, this is a great program yet. And they said, I don't know if they ever will, but so he talked about how we're all connected and how we're more alike than we are different. And he, you know, he's like, hey, we're up here. We graduated 50 years ago, but, you know, we remember everything like it was yesterday, and you guys will do the same. And, you know, I think representing that jersey and the pride that goes into it is something that we're very proud of. And I think they connected that emotion, our players to those 72 players right away. And, you know, you could see just the looks on our guys' faces, how in awe they were at that, you know, a national championship 1972 team thought that way, you know, and a highly credentialed group that came back with full humility and were thankful to our guys for the effort that they give every day. It was just a really cool experience, man. It was, and it was an awesome weekend that, you know, the stands were packed. It was loud. It was, I'm just so proud that that 1972 team, the guys that came back, got to feel that respected, because they should. And I'm proud of the way our SAA and our administration handled their homecoming back to Boswell Field. And then, and also just, you know, very, very pleased and proud that our guys got to see what some of these, like you said, face-to-faces and the personalities that came before them. It was pretty cool. They were walking off, you know, Coach Raymond just ripped them at halftime and got, you know, got after the defense to tune it up and to play sharper and to represent Hobart defense better. And then we went out on the field and our guys were shaking their hands and saying thank you. And just, again, kind of blown away by the unity and the union between, you know, such a gap in years. But thank you to Bob Riley. Thank you to Jeremy Foley, to everybody that came back. It was a special weekend.
I love that buy-in in both directions. I mean, your guys want to know these guys from 50 years ago. They want to know the program's foundation, how we got to where we are today, and how many programs could get a 50-year team and have maybe a dozen guys show up from 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm. From 50 years ago, and to start talking all types of nonsense about, you know, the defenses they ran, the offenses they ran. You know, you had Rick Gilbert back. What did he have, Ted?
274 assists, I think.
Yeah, he had over 400 points in his career. I mean, that's crazy. And we're, you know, we're sitting there and talking about that accomplishment, and we're kind of getting into, all right, well, you know, what teams did they play? It's a different sport now. Yada yada, and it never makes sense, because if you're a point leader, you're still, no matter when you played or who you played against, you're still better than all those other people, you know? So, you know, just hearing those guys talk, they're still so sharp. They're all with it. And again, it's like 1972, but the passion for playing Hobart lacrosse is just ever present in their everyday thinking and their everyday lives. It's a cool thing to be a part of.
And then you go out and play a game that those guys would have recognized completely, 22-19. I asked you this at the banquet the other night. How in the world do you put 22 goals on Will Mark?
Great coaching by Coach Brundage all week, and you know, making sure that our guys understood what a really bad shot was on that young man, but also, you know, to just shoot. Like, how do we combine that message? Don't shoot this one, but we got to shoot the ball, man. You got to shoot with your hands free. You got to shoot confidently. And guys have just been doing so much work, Ted. I think you commented on the podcast last week. They recognize where a perfected craft comes from. It comes from repetition. And so, the reps they've been putting in have been educated. They haven't just gone out and shot. They haven't gone out and done stick work or concept work or this and that. It's been based on who we're playing and preparing for that opponent. So I think they're well aware of who was in that goal and what he's capable of. And I think, when you get, Derek back in Derek form and, Anthony back in Anthony form, it's just nice having a healthy offense and those guys showing where they can mix the ball up.
So 2 weeks ago, you go down 4-0 and come back and win. So then last week, you're up 4-0 and give up the lead. And he's starting to scare us a little bit there.
Yeah, you learn quickly. I mean, four goals ain't much at this level, especially with those two guys, number four and number one on the pipes for LIU. Those are outstanding talents, man. I think if you see some of the back-footed feeds that they're throwing and their stick placement, the underhand, the overhand, just how quickly they get the ball out and the chances that they take. I mean, they're such a high risk, high reward team. And you saw what happened early with them, in the first quarter and kind of halfway through the first quarter, they're taking a bunch of chances and they're just not working out. And then, in that second quarter, every chance they took worked out. They're jamming it into people that are covered on the crease, and number 50 for them, who's one of the better off ball players we've seen yet this year, is catching everything and finishing everything. Nolan Firth draped all over people, and so is Max Horton, and they're still finishing those plays. And I think, with a hot and cold team like that, and you see they come out in the third quarter and they score one goal. So I think we needed to execute better defensively for sure, but that for a team that plays with that type of pace and that type of speed and what lacrosse is, it's just a run game. It's a 3-4 goal run game. And we've been really focused, Ted, on how to come back and basically challenge a run by a different team, how do we gain momentum back and then also just what needs to happen mentally and emotionally in order to make sure that momentum is halted. So thankfully, Adam Shea battles hard and Kevin Holtby, not his best day, but a decent day. So we're pretty good on the corners there. We just needed to make sure defensively we're playing more from the inside out, trusting the ball carrier a little, or the guy playing the ball a little bit more. And also it's just great to have the cushion when your offense is playing well. And you know that if you get them the ball, they're going to take advantage of it. So, yeah, we start off hot, which we got to do again this week. Mount St. Mary's loves to start the game with high pace and high emotion. So, I think I'm more proud of the fact that our guys bounced back. And we challenged them hard at halftime, Ted. We really did. We asked them to kind of look internally a bit and to figure some things out. And I thought they did a great job coming out in the third quarter and doing that.
We didn't get to go to LIU last year, so I'd never seen this team play in person. We talked coming in last week about how slow they were and deliberate with the ball, it looked to me like after that 4-0 lead that they kind of changed up on the fly and became more of a kind of running, gunning, Sacred Heart, St. Joe's kind of team. Do you feel like did they kind of draw up some new plays in the dirt when they got behind?
Well, I think they're more like that than they're not. They're a full field offensive team. You know, I think they love their goaltender. So they can lean on him a little bit. And, typically they've been okay at the faceoff X, not exceptional, but I think the scores are always indicative of how that kid plays in the goal. And they lost, they had two starting defensemen or two good defensemen out. So I think they may have taken the philosophy, Ted, of, hey, we got to kind of outscore these guys and we may give up a few opportunities. So again, they said, hey, let's let our goalie make some stops and let's run the other way, but let's give the ball essentially to number four, number one, and let them do whatever the heck they want with it. So, and that's typically who they've been since we've known them. So two very dangerous players. I think those guys could contribute and be impactful really anywhere in the country. But thankfully, we can bat that fast play or some ability on their part to take some chances with just some smart offense, some good ball movement, and some good shooting.
Looked like you had it pretty well put away about mid fourth quarter, and then the uh-oh time comes. Here's another goal and another goal and another goal, and finally the clock got to zeros.
Yes, yeah, we called the timeout, and Michael Christensen. They called that timeout. Michael Christensen ran that huddle and said, basically, we're going to win this game for us or we're going to lose this game for us. And what's it going to be? And some stalwart defense at the end there, in spurts. And again, kudos to LIU for not giving in, not cashing the chips in when their best player is not playing great, still kind of going at it. But, and then us showing some good poise and emotion down the stretch. Offensively, staying aggressive, knowing that it's more of an offensive game than a defensive game on both sides. It's hard to make that shift, at any point in the game. If the offense is just flowing, it's okay to sometimes take that route, and just say, hey guys, get these stops, get these clears, understand what they're trying to do, but just know that our offense is clicking right now. So play free, don't have too much pressure on what you're doing in and out defensively. Our offense is going to carry us a bit. So we're very proud of the fact that the offensive end did that. And one more mini run to end that game. Thankfully they got a penalty that gives us the ball man up. And then, again, you give the ball to Tommy Mott, let him use his speed a little bit. Sometimes that takes care of some things for you.
One special guy is Ryan Archer, 3 goals and 6 assists. He becomes the all-time Division I assist leader, passing Chris Aslanian, and then was honored with one of the 2 Babe Krause Awards at the Block H dinner. Just talk about what he brings to this program, as we have many times before.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's a special player, man. He's a special player, a special kid. I think the best part about this game, this past game, this LIU game, is the one before, Ted, was probably the worst game we've ever seen him play. And, I think he might've been a little bit under the weather, and he you saw that game. He just wasn't great. His shot was off. His stick work was a little bit off. His speed and athleticism were just a little bit off. So he came into this next week. I don't remember him having a better week of practice. I mean, that's why Archer is this successful, is he's not looking into the reasons why or making excuses or, pouting about anything. He came into Monday's practice and he practiced like he was a freshman trying to earn a position, and had a great Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then, he's 3-6 in a game where, he's kind of, you can just see him in a groove, but he worked to get there. So all those assists, the 95 assists, the 177 points, he's talented, Ted. Yes, he really is. And he was coached well from the jump. Jamie is an outstanding coach, his father. And I think he's been a student of the game for as long as he could probably remember. But, he does work harder than most, man. He just does. He sees the product after he spends the right amount of time on it. So it's funny too. I talked to Chris and Chris was checking in, and you know, I said, Arch is getting the Kraus tonight. We're talking about Block H, and I'm like, and he needs about 14 more to break your record, man. And like, ha ha ha, we're texting back and forth. And Chris is obviously highly competitive, Ted, and says, yeah, I'm very proud of Arch. I love Arch. You know, they're good. They're good buddies. And shared a lot of goals and assists together, you know? So, and he's like, I'm very happy he's getting that Kraus award. He deserves it. And then he goes, oh, and by the way, it's 15 points that he needs. And he had 4.5 years to do it with COVID. So he's getting some pokes, and I'm going back and, hey, you know, we only played a conference play last season. So it's about the same amount of games. And, but you know, it's just, it's cool that the guy's record that he may break, or the assist record that he broke, is his mentor. And I think even Ryan Archer's senior speech, he talked about Chris Aslani in a while, and just what he learned as a leader, what he learned from a work ethic, a growth year to year. He was overly complimentary to Chris. So, you know, I think just knowing the work that Ryan's put in to get to this point, knowing the mentors that he has, it makes us as coaches very proud that two of our guys are number one on those lists. But, you know, again, I said this at the Block H, that I believe it. I think Ryan would change it, would trade every individual accolade for a single win, just a single team win. You know, that's who he is, and he's as humble as they come. So we love him. We're proud as hell, and just can't wait to see what he does for us here going forward.
We've talked a couple of times about the substitution box, how you've been able to get some advantages running certain guys in through the box. And in that LIU game, it looked to me like they were playing some games themselves. They would start to run a guy off, your guy would go with them, and then your guy would dash back onto the field. Is that something they do by design?
Yeah, they try. They do a little bit of what we do. It was kind of, you know, two substitution teams going at it. I think a couple times there were a couple, you know, early turnovers where, you know, Derek Madonna got into the hole and Anthony Detallis got into the hole. Some guys that, you know, sometimes catch a ride off the field. And I think LIU did a good job in spurts just making that transition confusing. And I think ultimately we did a little bit of a better job just balancing our field a little bit sooner than they did. But they did score, I think, two goals off that substitution. So one thing we've been working on a ton this week and making sure our guys know Mount St. Mary's is doing the same thing. I think, Ted, you know, who ain't playing substitution games? Who doesn't run big little two-man games? Who isn't running this offense and the same offense and same defense? I mean, you're seeing the same things. It's not about whether or not you know what's coming. It's about whether or not you can execute against it or prevent it, so to speak. So, you know, I think at this point, we're pretty calloused in all things substitution, riding, clearing. Just in the moment, we need our guys to execute at a high level.
Mount St. Mary's this week, talking about the history of Hobart lacrosse. Tom Gravante, four-time national champion. Are you going to have him come in and talk to the team?
No, good question. But we love Coach Gravante, man. He's and I think you won't find too many people that played with him that don't, and have a ton of respect for him. I know he'll have his team very emotional, very ready to play. They always are, you know, whether they're having up years, down years, in between years. His team plays hard. They just do. And so we have a lot of respect for that. And it's a funky group. They do some different things. They're, you know, Bill Parcells, you're as good as your record shows. I don't know if it's the case with this one. I think they're a pretty good group and have, you know, stumbled in a couple scenarios, a little bit like we have in that five game stint. So, this is going to be a dogfight, man. It is. They're fighting hard for post game implications. We're doing the same. We're both in very different positions from a postseason standpoint. But if they win, they have a shot. So I know that they're going to come in here and do everything in their power to gain a victory. You know, unfortunately for them, this is a very passionate Hobart group and a group that's fought really hard to get back into this position. And it's our senior day, one that we cherish, one that we love. And we don't just, you know, announce the seniors and give them a high five. We talk about it endlessly from the time they start being seniors to the very day that they're done being seniors. We hold them to an extremely high standard. So this is a very important day for us. And I believe that Mount St. Mary's is going to get our best as well.
they've had their struggles this year, but you look at the things they're good at. They're one of the best riding teams in the country. They're the most penalized team in the league. They're very good man down. I mean, all those sort of hustle and physical stats. I mean, you might beat the Mount, but when you do, you know at the end of the day that you've been through a game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, their opponents are clearing under 80%, and so and they have they fouled over twice as many times as we have. So they're very aggressive, and you know, I think we've talked to our team repeatedly about where they're going to try and gain separation in this game. And it's certainly trying to prevent us from clearing the ball. And so we're going to work again on it today, making sure it's very tough for our group to clear the ball today, to get them very calloused for that Saturday opportunity. But, you know, we also feel like we could control pace, Ted, with great face-off work, with great offensive work, and you know, making sure that we do get up and out quickly so that we can clear the ball the first time. But we know what's coming. We know where they're good. We know how physical they are. We know how passionate their defensive coach is. You can hear him on film all game, every game. So they're a fiery group. I just, you know, I think they're going to play Hobart at a time where we're kind of firing all cylinders as well. So, but we are focused on clearing the ball. That's for sure. So a place where, Dad, we haven't been awesome all year. We've been okay. So, you know, we're going to have to execute well in that fashion.
So without giving away too much, what do they do specifically in their ride that makes it tough, and how do you counter it?
Well, they 10-man and they 9-man. You know, they bump up on occasion and you know, ride with four guys in that box instead of three. I think they've got a very fast attack that chases the ball well and makes you – you know, think about where the ball is going next instead of surveying the field. So they got the defensemen and goalies kind of throwing the ball back and forth instead of advancing the ball, which is, you know, always a trademark to a good riding group, you know, is that they don't let the ball move forward quickly. And then even in their 9-man from a face-off perspective, they will make it very difficult to possess the ball in the box. They'll shut Archer and Tommy and Derek early and make you run forward and play aggressive. And if you don't, and you play on your heels, they create a bunch of turnovers in that swamp. And they got defensemen who handle the ball pretty well, pretty good off the ground. And so it's kind of that front end pressure, Ted, to that back end pressure, and us knowing that it's coming is one thing. Us again, like I said earlier, us executing that the game plan in that pressure, in those pressure situations, is what Saturday will be all about.
Five straight losses, season on the rocks a little bit, and now three straight wins. What's been the difference? What turned around that got you over the hump in these last three?
Just a revisit of behavioral standard, if I can be dead honest with you, just, you know, talking more about how we're treating each other, talking more about how to be more accountable to each other and to have more pride in your performance, really. And so what are we doing to, we talked a lot early in the season about gaining an edge and who are we in between coaches' whistles, and who are we in the locker room? Who are we passing somebody in Wegman's supermarket? Who are we at the movies? You know, are we representing the character and discipline that we talk about all the time? And I just don't think we were, Ted. I think we were losing attention to detail. I think we were a little bit reluctant to tell people exactly the right thing or the honest thing, just because, you know, the injury stuff and that it puts you in a fragile place. It puts you in a fragile place emotionally as well. So does losing. So we had to make sure that we weren't emotionally fragile, that we remained tough in those moments and accepted criticisms, accepted teaching, accepted coaching, accepted, most importantly, leadership from your peers. So, and our guys have done a really good job bouncing back from a couple of difficult meetings where the coaching staff asked more of a leadership group, and a couple of different difficult meetings where the leadership group asked more of their team. And so, you know, we've gotten to a place where we've realized how ferocious you really need to be in your standard, Ted. And if you bend on it, then you're kind of full of crap, and we'd much rather people tell us we're bad lacrosse players, then we're full of crap. We don't want to be that way. But we've noticed that when we stay true to our word, we are pretty good at this game. So, you know, I think a different mindset, a different emotional set's got us to a place where we're pretty confident in playing well.
Well, if you want to see some good lacrosse, plenty of it on display Saturday, starting with the nationally ranked Herons at 11 a.m. Reminder, it's a 2 o'clock game for Hobart. You know I'm a big stat nut, so I looked this up. You have a chance to do what no Hobart team in history has ever done, and that is start the league 0-3 and qualify for the tournament. And like I said, if you get to the dance, no one cares what car you came in.
No doubt, Ted. Appreciate it, man.
All right, best of luck, and we'll talk several more times deep into the tournament and maybe beyond.
Sounds good, Ted. Appreciate it, brother.